Om Shanti. And good morning, everyone. Today, we have a few things. One I want to remind you of is the questions for the youth. At the back, we have a plate. And we would ask you to write down your questions for the youth and put them on the table this morning at the end of the session, so that we can review all the questions and we can see what kind of questions are similar and extract the topics, so that we can see that all the topics that are there that you are interested in can be covered. Is that okay for all to do? Wonderful. Then, for the cultural program, I asked yesterday and also today, if you have a cultural item that you'd like to do and like to perform, please contact Sister Aparna. She is coordinating the cultural program. And it would be like it's stated in the agenda for half an hour. And this afternoon, we have Baba's Rock. And all the children will have their own program, as announced this morning by Mira Ben. And for today's session, we have a very special guest. Please give a warm welcome to Dr. Sachin. And as we do for every speaker, we have a gift for the speaker from the parents, from the International Parents Retreat. We are very honored that you are our speaker here. And to be honest, can you give an introduction? Wonderful. Drama is accurate. Thank you very much. Please do.
My name is Saurabh. I'm from London. And me and Navika, we hear Dr. Sachin's talks almost every day whenever they're released out. So that's how we know him. So we've been listening to him, and it's a fantastic opportunity to see him live. So Sachin Bhai was—he spent a lot of time in his spiritual life. He has explored so many religions. He has done a lot of religious study, and he's professionally a doctor. And he came into Gyan when he saw the Baba Milan, Avyakt Baba Milan. And you should listen to his talk. I have the WhatsApp recording of that talk about how he came into Gyan. And that's really a very heart-touching story. And that has inspired so many people around in the entire world. So thank you, sir. So glad he's here today. And I look forward to hearing from him.
Om Shanti. Thanks for that short introduction. Recreating happy and healthy family. That's what the topic of today's talk. I would like to begin this talk with a very short story. And it's a real story that happened in medical fraternity. One day, an elderly gentleman came to the clinic of one renowned surgeon. This elderly gentleman had a wound on his thumb, and probably he had come there for dressing. Probably he wanted to remove the sutures. And he arrived in the morning at 8:30, and it seemed from his behavior that he is in too much hurry. He wants that his dressing should be done as early as possible, and for that he was eagerly waiting. So that's was the scenario. The surgeon sees him, and since the surgeon was not busy, he thinks, let me first see this elderly man. And he goes to him, talks with him, opens the wound, and finds that the wound is okay and suture can be removed. While he was talking, removing the sutures, he starts talking with that elderly gentleman. And he asks him, are you in a hurry? Do you have an appointment with another doctor? The old man says, no. And he gives the reason that his wife is admitted in one nursing home and he wants to have breakfast with her at 9 a.m. That's why he's in a hurry. Okay. So the talk continues. The surgeon keeps on asking one of the questions, and he understands that the gentleman, the old man's wife, is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. You must have heard of Alzheimer. Okay? It's sort of dementia where a person keeps on forgetting things, recent memories lost. So the old man says that his wife is suffering from Alzheimer's disease from last 5 years, and she is admitted in one hospital, and that's why he is in hurry, because he wants to have his breakfast with her at 9 a.m. So the surgeon asks that old man, is she waiting for you? So the old man says, no, she doesn't recognize me. Surgeon asks, for how long? He says, from past 5 years, she is in that stage where she doesn't recognize me. So surgeon asks him, and still you want to go at a right time and have breakfast with her, though she doesn't recognize you? The old man says, what could be the answer? Anybody? Yeah. Even though she doesn't recognize me, but I recognize her. The bond of love continues. That's what relation is all about. You know, the best definition of relationship I ever heard is this. It is the exchange of pure and positive energy between two souls. It is the exchange of pure and positive energy. It has nothing to do with blood relations. It has nothing to do with countries, caste, creed. It is the exchange of this pure, exchange of this positive energy. And whenever any impedance, any obstruction, any blockage happens in this exchange, the bond between two souls, the relationships, somehow gets distorted. So when we talk of family, there are different types of family: nuclear family, conjugal family, extended family, joint family, and so on. But when we become Brahmin, we talk of three families. One is Laukic family, second is Alaukic family, family of Brahmins, and third is world family. what is the exchange of energy which is happening at these three levels. When we are in Laukik, when we are in a Laukik family, and when we think that we are a part of this world family. So this flow of energy should continue. This flow of energy, pure positive energy. What are the things that happen when this energy is blocked? What are the things that happen when somehow we are not in tune with this pure energy? People talk of universal energy, cosmic energy, but in fact it is the soul power, souls interconnected to each other, which appear or which converts into this cosmic energy. So, rather than making it, I was told that this is not going to be a lecture. We are going to have interaction. We're going to have some sort of interactive talk. There would be exchange of questions and answers. So, before we begin this session, let's first of all sit in 2-minute meditation. And I will first explain you the theme of this meditation. What are we going to do? If you have any books and pens or paper in your hand, just keep them aside. We come to today's blessing from Sakar Murli. Baba has said a very beautiful thing today. I am originally and eternally pure soul. Impurity is artificial. It is a gift from Shudras. So what we have to do in this commentary or in this meditation, also, somewhere in today's Murli itself, one word has come. Soul, sparkling star in the middle of the forehead. So we will begin our commentary or this meditation session by getting first of all situated in soul consciousness, thinking of ourselves as a star sparkling in the middle of the forehead. Next thought is, I am originally and eternally pure soul. Once we get stabilized in this consciousness, what you have to do is, it will be a guided commentary, meditation. You have to get up and stand wherever you are. Okay? And move around. And as in today's blessing, Baba said, whenever you look at other person, you have to see that soul as pure, originally and eternally pure being. So first of all, I have to get stabilized in soul consciousness. Once I am stabilized, then I will slowly get up. And then I will start moving around. Okay? And whomsoever I see, start seeing each one in the middle of the forehead, a tiny point of light. Imperishable point of light. Okay? So, just sit back. Aye. Peaceable. I am a sparkling star. In the middle of the forehead. Extremely luminous. Imperishable. Oblivious of this body, extremely pure, eternally pure. An embodiment of purity. What bliss, what ecstasy, what ignorance of pain, extremely peaceful. Now let's stand up, all of you, without making any noise, maintaining the same soul conscious state. I am originally and eternally pure soul. Now I turn around. Let's turn around very slowly. Look at everyone. In the middle of the forehead, a wonderful star, shining, I see myself radiating rays of purity around. Everyone is a point of light. Every soul is so pure. And as I see everyone as a soul, I am sending out current of purity to that soul. Also, I see the pure rays of this eternal purity emanating from that soul and coming unto me. Every soul is emitting these pure vibrations. Now let me turn around further and see other souls. The hall is converted into a place just like soul world. Absolute silence. The world of souls, the incorporeal world, I turn around further and while turning I keep on seeing different souls. Just as I am a point of light, my father is also a point of light. The ocean of purity and his rays of purity are forming, as it were, a canopy a flood of purity and I am bathing in that purity. What a supernatural experience. What a superlative sense of spiritual vision. Now, Very slowly, I sit down in my own place without making any noise. Again, getting situated in my soul conscious state. The body is as if gone. The physical existence has totally forgotten by me. I am originally and eternally pure soul. What a spark of purity. What an ecstatic experience. And with that, I come into the consciousness of my body. Om Shanti. So, the homework from today's Murli, from today's blessing, is to get situated in our original and eternal soul conscious state. And whenever we'll see others, see them with the same vision. In one Avyakta Murli, Baba has said, do not see others' present sanskar. See them always as an eternally and originally pure being. Because whatever conflicts that occur, happen because of this collision of sanskar. Because of this fight, this harmony of sanskars. But when we think that I am pure and everyone is pure, automatically the vision changes. So, not only in the morning and evening, but throughout the day, from time to time, we should learn to get situated in that soul conscious stage. And we should experience that soul world here itself, as if this world has become that world. Shantidham, here itself. Okay. So, let's come to the topic. Once a gentleman took his father, an old man, to a restaurant for having dinner. And the old man, who did not know the manners of the so-called civilized society, was eating in a very clumsy manner. But the son was not at all feeling awkward. The father was eating and morsels of food were falling down on his clothing. The people who were sitting around, they felt disgusted to have such an uncultured, uncivilized person around them. But the son was absolutely comfortable and calm and quiet. He was seeing his father. He didn't say anything. His trouser, his jacket, everything was stained with food. After they finished their dinner, the son took his father to the washroom, cleaned him, helped him with his spectacle, combed his hair, and was going out. While he was about to leave that hotel, another old man got up and said, "Young man, you are forgetting something." This young man said, "No, I am not forgetting anything. I have taken everything." He said, "No, you have forgotten something." What that could be? He said, "You have forgotten something. You have left something in the hotel, which is your." Anybody? A lesson for everyone. A lesson for every son. Why I am telling you this is, when we are related to somebody by a very close bond, we do not see that person's failings, imperfections, defects, flaws, but instead we have an absolutely different feeling. So the story was just between a son and his father. But as I said, we have three families. One is Laukik family, and then we got Alaukik family. Baba says, in Hindi, Baba calls it Prabhu Parivar, God's family. And then world as a family. At these three levels, if we have that feeling of belongingness for everyone, acceptance for everyone, as if this soul belongs to me, my family, our outlook, our perspective, our vision, everything changes. So, as I was talking about family, the one very important aspect of family is this. The bond that binds each and every member of the family together is love. Second, acceptance. Accepting people as they are, accepting souls as they are. If they modify themselves, if they mold themselves, that's good. But we accept them as they are. And we continue to have pure feeling and good wishes for all of them. Such selfless attitude. You know, in Indian family and families outside India, there is a difference. Though the difference is fast merging or going. But if you had studied Indian families, suppose a woman gets married, okay? She comes to her in-laws. After coming to her in-laws, she finds that her husband is not good. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, they are abusive. But there is one thought in her mind. Now this is my world and I have to stay here. And with that thought, she stays there. But contrary to that, just think of another woman who gets married, who comes to a family. She finds that everything is against her sanskaras. And suddenly she decides, no, I can't. She is not ready to accept anything of this. And immediately, the family is split. You must have seen this difference in Indian family. Though I said nowadays it's not no more like that, but if you study the history, it's more of like that. She comes to a different background, she comes to a different atmosphere, and there she finds everything adverse. But one thought, now I have to live with these people. that one thought, and she adjusts herself and stays there. So, very important thing is family, is adjustment, molding one sanskar, acceptance, feeling of love. Unless and until we inculcate all these virtues, we will find the conflict go on and on. We have seen conflicts, not only you must have seen conflicts in the laukic families, but in alaukic families also sometimes this happens. Unless and until we stop and see and study each and every person's sanskars and natures, we don't accept them. You know, in one of the Murlis, Baba has said that you have to know about all those leaves who are around you. So, one important aspect of human nature is this, that we need to accept others with love. You all are parents, so you must be living with your wives, husbands, or children. I have seen that, especially BK parents, they have a tendency that they want to make their children BK anyhow. No matter, that child should become a Brahmin. Because we are one world benefactor, and we have heard in Murli that charity begins at home. So from the time a child is born, we want that person to become a BK. I remember once in our hospital, there were BK parents. They were staying somewhere and they tried hard to make their child a BK. He did not become Brahmin. He did pharmacy later on. So still then, he did not want to follow any of the BK lifestyle. So what they did, they brought that son here in Global Hospital and they got him salaried job and he started working here, but thinking that someday he will become a BK. But you know what that person used to do? He never ate from the hospital. What he used to do, he used to go to the market, he used to get all the food from outside and eat that. They tried hard, they did everything to turn him into a BK. But he was also determined. You cannot force anybody. You know, this is a common tendency in each and every BK family we have seen. Another tendency is that if a child is born, okay, why do we always think that we have to teach him? Have you ever thought that he has come to teach us? He has come to teach us. We always think that we have to teach him. But is there anybody in this? Yeah. So what do you have to learn from a child? See the change of outlook. The moment you feel that this child has come to teach me something, everything changes. This child will teach me now to smile. Do you think that? By you have become consultant to life? With your worldly skills which you have acquired, you know life fully, that now we start to teach him. This is an entirely different attitude where we start feeling that this child who has come in our family, he has come to teach me. What he is going to teach me? He is going to teach me smile. He is going to teach me walk. He is going to teach me to crawl under the sofa. He is going to teach me everything which I have forgotten. Now this child has come to teach me. The very attitude changes the atmosphere. There's a very good book in English, Sense of Wonder. I don't know how many of you must have read that book. It's a book by an author, Rachel Carson. Very old book. Rachel Carson. This author, this lady, she is in her old age, 70 years. And now she wants to explore what is childhood. Because she feels that I don't know what I have done in my childhood, but now I want to become a child again. So she makes a friendship with a 3-year-old child. And the friendship continues till the child becomes 5 years of age. So she has narrated her experiences in the book Sense of Wonder. She tries to make friendship with that child. She doesn't want to become a teacher to that child. So she does everything what the child does. Child cries, she cries. Child smiles, she smiles. Child is running, she is running. Because she feels that my 70 years as if life is lost, slipped through my fingers. I don't know, I have lost something very important. For her, everything is routine. The sun is rising, the ocean is there, waves are coming. She wants to feel that wonder again. She wants to understand, oh, what is this sun? She is again and again questioning herself. We have stopped thinking of the shells, the sand, the ocean, the moon, the sky, the trees. Everything has become so routine for us. What is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare, no time to stand beneath the bow and stare as long as sheep or cow. That's what poet writes. So, it is not necessary that a child who is born in our family, we should be rather thankful to him that he has come to teach us. And we should not clip his wings. Don't try to clip his wings. Don't try to make him an investment of your future. Don't try to make him an investment of your future. Who has come? A set of sanskar has come. A soul is a set of sanskar. He has his own set of sanskar. He has his own time to bloom, to blossom. Don't try to cut his wings. Let him be what he is. But we want to force our wishes unto his wishes. We want, let him do something. Probably he has come to do something which you even never dared to think in your life. He has come with that potential. So we have to see each and every soul who comes, or our children, with that vision. Do you agree with me? Yeah? So, from today onwards, think that these children have come to teach us a forgotten lesson of life. You know, there's a story, a bird comes in one palace, a new bird. That king has never seen such a bird. So, the king goes and catches hold of that bird. And he examines that bird and says that this bird is not of this place. And this bird is not very beautiful. Because he is accustomed to seeing those birds which are in his kingdom. So what he says, I want to make this bird very beautiful. So what he does, first of all he cuts his wing because they are a little bigger. Then he says, oh, his feathers are not very good. The feathers of the birds of our kingdom are little different. Let me cut it. So in this way, his beak, that also he cuts. And then he says, now it's a very beautiful bird. Now this bird is very much like the birds in our kingdom. But what he has done, the bird is dead. Are we doing the same thing? Are we hell-bent in turning them into a person which we ourselves could not become. Sometimes, you know, our unfulfilled desires, we want our children to fulfill. We wanted something, we wanted to become something in life we couldn't become. So we want our child to become that. Unfulfilled our ambitions, we thrust them on them. So no child likes this. Let him be what they are. Accept them as a privilege. Don't try to meddle with them. And another important thing, we try to make them spiritual. In fact, this is a good desire. But let them learn spirituality without knowing the word spirituality. Let them become spiritual without even knowing the word spirituality. What does that mean? We teach them by our manners. We teach them by our actions. We do not teach them theory, because child learns from others, from your behavior. If you keep on telling a child, don't do this, what a child does? He does the same thing. The more you force a person, do not do this. You know, in English there is something very important which is known as white bear phenomenon. Anybody has heard of that? White bear phenomenon? Anybody? Nobody? That's known as ironic process theory. Ironic process theory. That theory states that if you tell a person, or particularly a child, not to do a particular thing, he will do the same thing. The experiment were conducted, I think, in United States, where they got a group of people, 20 people, and told them not to think of white bear. First of all, bear, and that too white one. Do not think of that. People who were delegates, they thought, we never ever thought of bear. Why we will think of bear now? We have no relations with bear. We never read anything about bear. So why we will think? So they were given half an hour. And they were told not to think of white bear. The whole hall became filled with bears. Everybody start thinking only of bear. So this is known as, you know, what? Ionic process theory or white bear phenomenon. So we keep on teaching them, don't do this. But we do not teach them what to do and how to do. And that how to do and what to do, we will be best teaching them by our own example. That we don't do. Something is definitely missing. You must have heard of Sigmund Freud. You know Sigmund Freud? Yeah. He's the father of psychoanalysis. Once he had gone with his wife and child to a garden, and they were about to leave, and Sigmund Freud sees that his son is missing. So they start searching him here and there, but they couldn't find the child. He asked his wife at last, did you tell him not to go to any particular place? Wife says, yes, I had told him not to go to that fountain. So Sigmund Freud says, go and see him, he must be there only. So she goes and she finds son is sitting there, waddling in that fountain. So she asks him, how do you know that he is there? He said, there is nothing strange, the whole world is doing the same thing. Because nobody likes to obey in one way. A child comes, he wants to be independent. Though, yes, we have to teach him obedience, but probably, or perhaps our way of teaching is incorrect. We want to satisfy our own ego somewhere by ordering him. Probably everybody orders us in our office. So we want to take revenge. And we start to order our child. So we don't want to do this. Let them grow on their own. Let them, yeah, please.
So, as you mentioned, that, let them grow on their own.
Yeah.
But most of us, as you said, allow them to be on their own.
But most of us, we live outside India, and the world there is very different.
Yeah.
They spend most of their time in the school.
Yeah.
And the kind of friends they have, the cultural difference is so different. It's very hard for us to set the boundaries on how do we take care of them and show them the right path.
Yeah. As I said to you earlier, we have to make them spiritual, and without them letting know the word spirituality. See, spirituality is such a thing, it's such a subtle thing. You cannot force spirituality on anybody. One thing. Now, regarding moral standards and the culture which is existing outside is absolutely material, absolutely vicious, and there is every chance that they may get colored by that company. These all things are always there. That is why I said, how are we to behave? Our behavior, right from the childhood, we do not force anything on them, but we teach them by some other way. We have to change our ways of teaching, and they themselves should understand what they have to do. In the sense, like, we teach them all those sanskaras, we teach them everything by our own behavior, and we teach them that the reasoning behind that. What are the ill effects of that? If they, because we should not think that they are the person is a child, rather than think of them as your friend. Teach them and learn from them. Both things should go together. Now, again, the same question, how to set boundaries. But you must have seen that the more you force a child, the more child develops a desire to do that particular thing. If you tell him, do not watch this, the child wants to watch that. He might not watch that in your home, but he might watch it with the help of his friends. What is missing is what I think is a clear communication. We have to sit with the child and tell him about yourself. Tell him about your own history. There is a very good study which was done again, I think, in US, wherein they found that, researchers found, those students who know the family history, they get less spoiled. Family history. The study was done on family history. There is one more very good study which was done, which showed that those children who spend time with their grandmoms, they are more considerate, more compassion, more caring. These are some of the studies. So, what I want is, our family atmosphere should become such that automatically they become spiritual, automatically they develop the desire for spirituality, automatically they understand what is the benefit of this and what is the loss that happens because of the vicious atmosphere of the world, the drugs, intoxicants, so many addictions. So many things are outside. The entire world, the moment the child goes out, he is exposed to all the negativity and negative atmosphere. So our responsibility will be to create a positive atmosphere, a pure atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere in our own family, in our own house, one. Second, we set a good example to them. Another thing is discussion with them on daily basis. We become their friends. Unless and until we become that conflict will keep on occurring, or we are always having that feeling of insecurity. Why not they become so responsible? It is not that we keep on teaching them everything. Let them fall and let them rise. Make them self-reliant, rather than a person who is totally dependent on everything on their parents or elders or other people. and try to understand them. Most important thing, the crux of the story is try to understand them, try to understand child's psychology. What a child wants. If we can understand that, most of the things would be settled. You know, I don't know how many of you must have seen, in Hindi there is a very beautiful movie, Tare Zameen Par. You must have seen that. It's also available in English. I watched it while I was traveling once by bus somewhere. And I really liked it. Those who have not watched, I will just tell you in short about it. It's a story of a 8-year-old boy. His name is Ishan. And this child is not interested in studies. This child is failing in every test. This child doesn't like to go to school. The child has his own different world. The child has its own different world of colors. This child lives in his own world of imagination. He cannot read, he cannot write, he doesn't understand, he doesn't excel anywhere. And in contrast to this boy, there's another, his brother, Johan. His brother is excellent. He's exemplary, not only in studies, but also in sports. He's an athlete. Mother is still frustrated because she feels that she cannot educate her younger child properly. Father is an executive and he feels that his child, Ishan, he's ill-mannered. So this child is berated, belittled everywhere. And child develops that fear. Ultimately, parents decide that let us send the child to boarding school. Child becomes more and more gloomy. He loses that self-esteem, that self-respect. Probably maybe an inferiority complex and so many things. And there it is shown that in that school, a new art teacher comes. And he sees that this child is contributing very little to the school activities, class activities. And he tries to know what is going on in this child's brain. He studies that child. And on one day off, he goes to that child's home. There, he sees his diary, where he understands that this child has an exceptional ability for painting. But then he had a fight with his father, ideological fight. The father says that child is ill-mannered, child doesn't want to study, he is lazy. This art teacher says, have you ever seen his studies, his books? What sort of paintings are these? He says, let me see all his diaries. And he sees that, have you noticed a particular pattern? This child has got difficulty in understanding, reading letters. And this difficulty, what they called is dyslexia. And then it is shown in that movie, the teacher takes a special grant and he becomes his personal tutor and he teaches him skills, learning skills. And that child gradually excels in mathematics and other subjects. Even in the competition which is shown at the end, the child is a topper while the teacher is a runner-up. I am telling you this story because, you know, during that period, something similar happened in my own life. My younger brother had met with an accident. And I couldn't understand. He was standing in Mumbai somewhere and a vehicle came and just collided and was off and he just fell down. He was rushed to the hospital There he had to undergo 4 operations. And after that he recovered, but he had fear of everything. I couldn't understand what's happening to him. He was as if in a state of depression. Though I am a doctor and he is also a doctor. But I couldn't understand what to do for him. I used to tell him, why don't you study? Why don't you join some hospital? I took him this hospital, that hospital. I forced him to work in a hospital. Otherwise he just sits and keep on thinking. But I couldn't understand that after this trauma, all those things must have happened in his life. And as I was telling, I was watching this movie and I was in a bus and I immediately understood that he is having some problem and that needs to be addressed. And I need to take help of somebody. And there I thought, yes, he should be taken to somebody. Because there is something known as post-traumatic stress disorder. Even though as a doctor, we diagnosed others with all those things. It's quite easy to diagnose somebody. If some patient comes, he says, I don't feel like to eat, I don't want to. We immediately diagnose depression. And we start with antidepressants. Go, come after 1 month. But here I couldn't understand that this was an acute phase of depression. And I couldn't understand that he needs treatment. Probably some such thing is happening with our child also. But we have so many hopes, you know. Recently a BK family called me and they have that intoxication that when the child was born, he used to come to center and he would read Murli. So they had that intoxication that this child is going to become a BK. Probably he is somebody from the advanced party. This is a conception in the BK families. You know, whenever a child is born and the child starts in Gyan, they feel that he is one of the advanced party. And they get very intoxicated. But then later on, this child had a problem, severe problem, like schizophrenia. That child called me one day and he said, you are talking to me since 2 days. I said, what? Are you talking with me? I said, no, I am not talking with you. He said, no, I am seeing you in my vision. I said, no, I am not talking with you. And then his mother was saying, ki, this is what is happening to my child, I don't know. Probably he is in that Bap Saman stage, like father-like stage. And probably he is getting visions that he is communicating with souls. And so many things. But it was absolutely different thing. It was a bipolar disorder and he needed treatment urgently. I went into the details of the history, what was happening since last 6 months. So this is what happens, you know, as in the case of that movie which I told, that parents did not understand what the child is suffering from. Parents said that he is lazy, he is disobedient. But the problem was the child couldn't read the words. He was suffering from some mental disorder, some psychological disorder. This family, they had such a high hopes and expectations because they already announced everywhere that our child, and he is so good in Gyan. That also gives a good satisfaction, though he may not be really. And I have seen that these so many children who are in Gyan in their initial ages, once they grow up, they give up the Gyan. They no more follow this Gyan. So we have to know this, to watch them as a detached observer. They have come, you know, you remember a very good poem by Khalil Gibran, your children are not your children. They have come to you, but they are not yours. They are gift of God. Life's gifts to you. So what is your duty? Just to nurture them. You can give, provide, but you don't expect that they should become like this. They should become, even if it is like profession, they should become this, they should become that. Ultimately, we will become sorrowful. because our expectations may not get fulfilled. And why are we forgetting that every child, every soul has its own fortune? That is already recorded. That is as if a CD. The child is born means a CD has come. A CD where everything is there already, new everything, all the sanskars. And he is going to flower according to that. We can only, like so many parents are there, they say in Murlis you must have seen, they want to marry. What can, but, and so many have, even when Sakar Baba was there, so many BK families used to come to Baba and they used to ask, Baba, our child wants to marry, what should we do? What did Baba said? No. If you say no, they will run away and marry. That is such a strong desire, you know. So, do not force. Don't ever think of making him into another you. Let him go his own way. Let him travel alone. Let him fall down. And let him learn from life. We have to teach them. Definitely we have to teach them. But probably the mistake is in our way of teaching. There is somewhere we want to satisfy our ego in teaching them. So this is in short, and I think now we can have some discussion. If you have any questions, let's have discussion on that. Yeah. Anybody? I don't say that whatever I said, you agree to that. Because each and every point which have been said here, there could be a big discussion on that. Yeah, anybody? Any questions? Yeah.
Just want to ask you, if you have a question, please wait for the microphone. So everything will be recorded, so the question will be recorded. That's important for the answer. Thank you.
Just have a quick question in what you just explained. I know a Brahmin family, and there is a Brahmin child, I mean, of course, a child. And the child actually talks about talking to angels and, you know, in school, doesn't like to be with others, like doesn't go along very well with others, but then in things he says, but it's okay, I sit alone and I remember Baba and I see angels around. And And then parents think, is it something that child is creating, or is something because he listens about Gyan within the household, sometimes going to center? How this can be? Because I'm pretty sure, because children are so creative, even all of us, if they listen to any of such concepts, they create so quickly. Yeah. So how to differentiate whether they're just hallucinating or just creating, or they really need some help? How to tackle such situation?
There's a very thin line between visions and sometimes hallucinations. Very difficult to differentiate this. You know, I'll just go back in history. When Swami Vivekananda, you must have heard, when he went to his master used to tell him that, I see vision of Mother Kali. I talk with her. But this gentleman, young intellectual person, he said, this is everything is your hallucinations. I don't believe any one of this nonsense. So, you know, medically speaking, if you, there's all these things, you know, this is something which is, this comes under parapsychology. You know, not even psychology, which is, people call it pseudoscience. It's like a person who says that I am seeing angels, I am hearing voices, I am seeing what is going to happen in future. That's what we call extrasensory perception, ESP, sixth sense. So many things are there like this in the world. And there are a lot of stories about it. But as regards, if suppose in our own family, a child is there and he says to us one day that I am hearing grandmother who is already dead. I am talking with the people who are already dead. And sometimes it may happen that he tells you that this is going to happen after 3 days, and that happens. Recently in the newspaper, one news had come about one lady, and she said that she is seeing a dead body, and she narrated the news clipping of the newspaper, exactly what it was. And she said, I am seeing a newspaper, and in this it is written this, and this is how a lady was going, and she is hit by a car and she died, and this is how the news is. The same lady died after 3 days, and the same words with this, all those came in the newspaper. Actually, she had seen her own death 3 days before. So, you know, these all things may happen. A child may say all these things. But what I feel, you should not encourage all these things too much. Not at all. To think of them as visions, angels, Baba talking, Baba has said all this is a Maya. This can turn into Maya. Anytime. We have to teach them harsh realities of life. We have to tell them whatever we are doing. Even if they tell, just we should not give too much attention to all these things. Because what if such a child, prodigious child, comes in our family, we want that the whole Brahmin family to know that. Ki our child is getting visions. He has become a trance messenger. You know, that is a very subtle desire. Recently, one girl had come to Madhuban few months back, and she used to communicate, she used to go in trance and all that. So, these are all good things, but they can turn into Maya. So, I say, even as a doctor, we should not encourage all these things too much. We should sit with the child and teach them Gyan. Because if they are talking about Baba, if they are talking, because you, as you said, this is a Brahmin family and the child is talking about Gyan, about angels. Teach them what is angelic stage. This is the angelic stage, bodilessness and whatever. So, we should not go too much into all these things. Because that can misguide them. Or they may lose interest in their studies. Because then they will like to remain in that hazy state of the mind for a long period of time. They may not like to come out of it. But we have to... Because if something new happens, very adverse condition comes, then how that child is empowered to face that condition? So we have to teach them and ignore this. Next.
Om Shanti.
Yeah.
You have mentioned about love, exchange of pure and positive energy is the true love. So... I just wanted to know, how do we increase the love for God, Baba?
Yeah. Actually, to love others, it's so difficult, one thing. It becomes easy and only if we have love for one Father. Then only we will be able to love others. Unless and until we have a very strong connection with seed, our love for the leaves or branches, twigs will not be that strong. So, actually, I will say, your question is about loving God or loving other souls?
Loving God.
Loving God. Okay. How do we increase love of God? There are two things to that. One is, in Hindi, it's a Vishay Virag Ishware Anurag. We should have disinterest for the world, and then we should have interest for this interest in love of God. How to do that? But actually, God's love is a very tough subject. I have been speaking in Hindi for quite a long time, but I have always evaded this subject of God's love. You know, I feel it's a very tough job, because we say we love Baba, but is that really true love? Is that really true love? True love, there are so many big murlis, avyakta murlis on what is Ishwariya, godly love. And when you read those murlis, you have to little step back. Because Baba has always said,
who are the ones who love Baba? Everybody raises hand. So Baba says, you all are past 100% in love. But what is the definition of love? Love of God is such a higher stage of the mind, where nothing is mine, everything is His. It is an absolute form of surrender. It's like that I which is there within us, that is gone. The path is narrow. Jesus Christ says somewhere, the path is narrow. You can't walk there with your ego. The total dissolution of the ego and His love increases. So what are the ways of increasing God's love? To love God, I say, means to love four things. First, to love Baba is to love Murli. The more you love Murli, your love for Him increases. If you say that I love Him, but I don't like to read Murli, or I don't want to churn Murli, then that is not a true love. Not everyone who cometh and saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Bible says. Not everyone who just cometh and saith, oh Lord, no. He that doeth the will of my Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So, will of Father, Srimat of Father, dictates of one Father. Unless and until we follow those things, it cannot be said that we love Him. One is this. Second, to love Madhuvan is to love Baba. To love Madhuvan is not a simple thing. When I talk of Madhuvan, it means all Madhuvan Nivasis. When I talk of Madhuvan, it means everything which is happening here. Whatever is given here, we are happy with it. We are contented with it. We have no complaints, no qualms about anything. To love Baba is to love this family, godly family, Brahmin family. If we do not love this family, it cannot be said that we love Baba. And fourth, yajna, sacrificial fire. To love this yajna, everything for this yajna, whole life for yajna, wealth, health, all body, mind, everything for this. So, our love for God is not like those devotees who just were remaining absorbed in the love of God, forgetting the entire world, the examples of bhakti like Meera or so many of Roman Catholic saints. They were so lost in His love. They were totally lost. You know, there's an example of Saint John, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. They were seven brothers. First brother becomes a monk and he surrenders everything to God. Second brother becomes monk. Third brother becomes monk. All of them join monasteries. And a small child, youngest brother remains. And they say to him, you take this, you look after the house and property and everything, we all are going. And he says, no, you took the heaven and give me the earth. I am also coming. So, this is a book, The Family That Overtook Christ. You must have heard of this book, which narrates the Saint Bernard is expressing his love for God. He says that, oh, that arrow of God's love is in my heart and it is bleeding. What should I do? I have no desire for this world. He is just lost in the love of God all the time. He doesn't know what is happening in the world. He says, unhealing wound of God's love. But our love is not like this. There is a fourth subject in our institution, in this organization, which is service. So, we have to do service also. Saint John, Saint Bernard, Saint Francis, they did not have to do service. Meera did not have to do service. All the saints did not have to do service.
They were lost in God's love. So God, getting lost in God's love, or in, to have a, that feeling of God's love, is means all these three things. You should have love for Murli, you should have love for this Parivar, you should have love for this Yajna. All these things combined together. If we increase this, that will happen. Any other question?
I just want to ask you, related to this, love for the self, where would you place this one?
Yeah. Actually, real love for the self, not the selfish love, not that form of love which is body conscious, which has elements of body consciousness. The real love for the self, the real love for the of soul for the self, is the finest form of love. And that love is very much near to God's love. Because unless and until we love ourselves, our own self, to love ourselves means to become soul conscious. Because we have two things, false identity and real identity. We are wearing false identity, which is not our own self. We are lost. We think we are this, but these are all the different manifestations, forms of body consciousness. To get situated in our own self is to love ourselves. To get situated in our own original and eternally pure nature is to love our own selves. And to love ourselves is to love Him. Because His first order is to become soul consciousness. In that way also it becomes. Because in one way, by loving our own deeper self, we are following His order. And to follow His order, He that doeth the will of My Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. We are following His Father's orders. So I place that above everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Om Shanti. Since you had used the word sixth sense, if you can just speak a little more about what is sixth sense and how does it work, and is the word intuition and the sixth sense similar?
Yeah. Thank you. There are three words. One is sixth sense, another is intuition, another is extrasensory perception, ESP. The difference is very fine. In our Gyan, we use such words as touchings. You know, Baba has talked about two powers, touching power and catching power. Catching power is something we catch. Touching is something that comes from other side. Baba has given this touching. Okay? Like Dadi Prakash Mani had once a thought ki on one particular festival, let us open a particular number of Gita Pathshalas. She had that thought and it happened. So that sort of, as if she got that touching from Baba, as if Baba told her, yes, this has to be done. So this is a sort of, I will say, this is a touching. Now coming to intuition. Intuition is a word from psychology, and Baba has said in one of the 69 Murlis, a day will come when your thoughts and drama will start going in parallel way. Now you say that as per the drama. Now, this is the language of Brahmins. As per the drama, it was in the drama. But a day will come, and that day, and this will be the sign of perfection, when you all will become thought readers. A day will come, and that to read others' thought. This is in 70 Murli, 1971 of the Murlis. To read others' thought is also a sign of perfection. Okay. So, intuition means, things have not happened, they are going to happen. But this will happen to only those souls who are very, very pure, as if they have become a mirror and the sun is getting reflected, the moon is getting reflected in that calm and tranquil lake. The mind is so calm, so clear, so pure, to have line clear what Baba says, where you start understanding what is going to happen in future. Okay, so I call this as an intuition, where you get a feeling of what is going to happen in future. Another is sixth sense, you know. Now sixth sense, this is a word quite often used, and used in conjunction with extrasensory perception. Both are used very much similar manner. This happens to many of the worldly souls also. Many, many people it happens. And sometimes, again, we will sit with the same consciousness. I am supremely, originally and eternally pure soul. I'll just give one example which happened recently. We have in our hospital medicine OPD, which I look after. In that OPD, once a group of tourists came, and they had one elderly person, and they came in my OPD, and the person said, I am having difficulty in breathing. So I examined him, auscultated him, and I said to him that he needs admission, because his chest was really congested, it was acute bronchitis, and he really requires admission. It was almost 5 o'clock when the OPD was about to get closed. And those people, they were tourists, they said, no, we have a train at night, we can't. I said, no, you have to get admitted. Somehow, I don't know, I felt that he should get admitted. Though he was fully conscious, fully oriented, little breathlessness. And usually, we can give some prescriptions on OPD basis. But I felt very strongly that this patient needs admission. And they went out. I said, just discuss out and come. So they came inside and they said, okay, we will get him admitted. And I got him admitted. I made his paper and I left the hospital. I reached my room. Immediately I got a call from hospital. The patient had gone to his room. Within 5 minutes he got a cardiac arrest. Though his ECG was normal, earlier one. The problem was only difficulty in breathing. ECG was okay. It was not looking like cardiac case. But he had a cardiac arrest. So immediately I rushed back. We shifted him to ICU. Patient was intubated, ventilator, put on ventilator. And many things were done. BP had dropped. So he was in ICU for 2 days. Then he was extubated. And he was shifted to ward. He did well. Another 6-7 days he was discharged. So, you know, this patient had come. But I got a very strong sense that something is going to happen to this patient. I cannot leave him like that. Take this medicine and go home. No, something is going to happen. So, you know, there is something known as touching. And we said intuition. So, I think that these two things are more of spiritual words. And they can be clubbed together. While when we talk of sixth sense, this could be for all the earthly things, worldly things. Intuition, this is not written anywhere, nor you asked the question and now only I am thinking about it. So I feel that this is more on the spiritual platform, intuition word. It has got more spiritual element in it. It is more for, you know, some otherworldly touchings, wherein they are related to God's work. And sixth sense can be with anybody. It can happen to anybody. As I gave the example of that lady who got to see her own death. And she died. Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to see how many questions there are.
We can take one or two more. Or one.
Let's take two.
Last one question.
Last two?
Two, okay.
Okay.
Short.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've got an 18-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And he's very busy with his mobile phone, with his computer, with his own world. He's in his own world. So how do I let him know that I too exist there and he's important to me?
See, nowadays, this is the latest form of Maya. We can call it digital Maya. When Maya saw that these Brahmins, they don't go to cinema, she did a very beautiful thing. She brought television. And when she saw that these people don't watch televisions, she went a step ahead. Why not to put that digital world in everybody's pocket? So she got this latest form of Maya. See, the question is very much pertinent. And nowadays children are glued to such devices. What to do when a child is, I will say, addicted? This is also a sort of addiction, you know. There is something which is known as screen time. How much is the screen time? How number of hours you are in front of your screen, that is known as screen time. So, the screen time is increasing day by day. First of all, if you tell your child, stop that, the results would be white bear phenomenon. He will do it more and more. If you force him, it will be something else. If you punish him for that, probably he may develop resentment, a feeling of hatred, also feeling of revenge somewhere. If you totally stop it, he may find ways through his friends to reach to that. You have to start your work with this only then. You have to change his interests. Let him watch the same thing, but then start showing on the same thing spiritual things, spiritual games, everything. Let him develop that desire to know more and more about spirituality, just as he has the desire to know more and more about apps. He has the desire to know more and about what is happening in movies, what is happening in sports. Gradually you have to turn his interest. This would be a transformation. If you do force, there will be suppression. We don't want him to force. This is a very, very, very delicate issue. First of all, we have to understand what is there in his mind, why he is stuck to that. What he wants, what joy, what feeling, what pleasure, what happiness he is deriving from that particular device. If the same pleasure you can give him through other way, probably his interest will reduce. Right now he's interested. If you ask him something, some formula of mathematics, he will not remember. And we say that he has a very poor memory. He doesn't remember the lesson which we were taught yesterday. But he remembers each and everything about mobile, about games, about football matches, about everything. Why? Because he's interested in that. You have to shift the center of his interest. And that will be by educating him, by counseling him. You know why people go to counselor and they like him so much? Because counselors are always non-judgmental. And we are judgmental. We know this child is not going to improve. We have given a stamp earlier only before teaching. Might be in our own mind. We have made that decision he is not going to improve. So you have to change your methods of teaching. You have to do something so that he develops interest in all the spiritual things and show him everything through this. Let him listen to Baba's song. Let him listen to movies, spiritual movies, something like that. Yeah. I think after this we'll end. Okay, fine.
Like you mentioned,
I can talk with you personally on this issue. Yeah. Because this is not a thing which I can discuss over here. Yeah. There's somebody from back. Sister, one person. Last question.
Om Shanti. I'm from China. 我在想哈，现在有一个灵感，就是咱们清明大学这么美好，其实我们在中国有些家长已经不把孩子送到学校去了。
This is her touching. Just she say she's from China. Now the children of the China family, they don't send the children to the school anymore.
包括我自己的孩子，我都不想送到学校去了。
因为我的大孩子，我也花了很多钱送到什么加拿大去上学。其实他，我觉得只是学了一些技能，但是他灵性是缺乏成长的。所以我也希望我们心灵大学有专门针对青少年的这个学校，我们都愿意送来，把钱也送过来，一起成长。
She got a child and then she sent her to Toronto, and then she don't feel that she like this spirituality.And then she said,
child feels that child doesn't like spirituality.
Yeah. And then she spent so much of money for her study. So she thought, if we here, our university here, we can have our child, I mean, for youth spirituality study. So they can send all over here, and instead of sending them to overseas colleges and get nothing.
现在在中国我也开始做那个 Niven Venue Education， 试图在开始做这个教育，但是我觉得我一个人的力量太小了。
什么教育？
Niven Venue Education，
Niven
生活价值教育。
Now because she's a teacher, so now China she's doing now they are doing this how to say living value.
Yeah,
teaching.
Yeah.
So because she felt that she only alone in China to do this is like the power is small.
Yeah, anything more? 你要讲
的。我就希望就是心灵大学有一个这样的适合小孩子成长的，不光是我们大人成长，而且长期可以学习，我们愿意送过来。
She felt that if our university here we have this living value for the children, and then she can send all the children, no, from here they study until they are grown up.
You have to talk with seniors for this, but this is a good idea that we develop. Yeah.
因为我觉得现在孩子送到学校去要学好太难了。
Because she felt that the children sent to school, ask them to learn good things is very difficult now.
Yeah.
因为老师都不是榜样。
Yeah.
Now the teachers are no more example.
Yeah, of course. You know the present system of education which is existing at now.
Thank you.
So that definitely needs modification. And what sister says is that here in this institution can we start some such school.When students can be sent here rather than sending to some other place. This is no doubt a good idea, but till the time this idea gets materialized, we have to begin teaching them in our own place where we are. As I began my talk and I was talking of our home should become a spiritual learning institution. Let's make our own home into an academy.For a better world. Our home itself should become a spiritual educational institution, and in that we assume the responsibility of teacher, and a teacher has to be embodiment of his own teachings. So if you want to teach our, because see actually spirituality is not something which is can be taught through books. We have to teach spirituality by our own life, our own example.We have to set up such an exemplary model of perfection, morality. That's what is spirituality about. And it is also not necessary that even if such a school is started, not necessary that all children who go there will become spiritual. It's not necessary. As I said, your children are not your children. They are with you. They have come. Thank them. It's a privilege that they have come to us.Rather than having any other feeling for them, and let them blossom. You just nurture, you just give sustenance to them. But at the same time, remain detached. Because detachment is included as a virtue, and attachment is considered as a vice. Because when one vice enters, all others will start. So if we have to give them true love. True love means,That also doesn't mean that you just let them do whatever they are doing. True love doesn't mean that. True love means teaching them what is good for them, what is right for them. That may be harsh reality of life. But only thing is that our way of teaching, our way of dealing, interacting them, we need to change and modify. I think here we end the talk. And one more thing I just want to tell you, because I'm not much used to this sort of interaction, and I don't know how was this thing. This is probably my second talk or second interaction with double foreigners till now. First day, we had a talk that day on, we discussed about Sakash, and this is the second interaction. So if you feel there's some mistakes or if you feel ideological differences, you may pardon me for that. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. I would just like to add that you are touching certain subjects I think that are very useful for us parents. I recognize them and I never heard them before within this setting, and I think it's very useful and very helpful, and I think I can speak for all the parents that it's been very useful. If not so, pardon me, but I want to thank you very much for all your sharing your experience and examples, and it's been very useful, and we're very honored that you were here. Thank you.
I've been into practicing Raja Yoga for the last 6 years. I always feel that I have not spent enough time learning the material, not enough time, you know, reading the books and all that. The one thing that I want to ask you is, where do you see which areas of you need to that you have not addressed, where you think you can make an improvement?
I have not addressed in this session on this topic.
In general, while you are on the journey into Raja Yoga, which areas you think probably you need to work on?
I feel actually we have in Pandavavan a daily morning session where we churn different parts of sections of Avyakta Murlis every day, and that's going on for a long period of time. But as you asked, which is that subject which is yet I have not touched upon? I think most of the things we have done, but I think personally for myself, I need to explore meditation more and more. We have expanded knowledge like anything, but meditation, even yeah, we do have very good experiences in meditation also, but the depth of meditation, what are those subtle experiences? From last so many years, I don't think I have ever missed Amrit Vela, and I don't remember ever I was sleepy in Amrit Vela any time, and I don't remember ever I had an ordinary experience of Amrit Vela any time. Almost every day without fail from many years, I'm getting very very powerful experience in Amrit Vela, but I still feel that there are so many things in it which are not in this, something which is, knowledge is still, you are little down, but here you are exploring an entirely a different world, entirely a new world where body is not there at all. So I feel that stage wherein we remain for an extended period of time in soul consciousness, extended period of time lost in God's love. As I said, I have not spoken on one subject, and that is God's love till now. Because I always felt, if I have to speak on this subject, let me go in solitude, absolute silence for at least 6 months, and then I will come out of it and talk on the subject like God's love. It's so powerful subject, so deep subject, and I feel this is the thing, meditation, deep experience of Baba's love, deep experience of soul consciousness, an experience which is beyond this world, that is yet uncharted.
Om Shanti. I must apologize because Dr. Sachin was not introduced properly, because I had specially asked him for a complete introduction. He sent me a message on WhatsApp. It was on my phone, which is not an India phone, so I didn't bring it. And I brought it, and he was already sitting there, so I didn't want to interrupt. I won't go into the total details, but I just want you to know that even whilst living in this world, whilst having degrees, whilst having studied all the, you know, worldly things, he can do that. So children can also do that. This is what I just want to say. So maybe he was introduced that he's been with this organization for 13 years. And you know, those who watch Peace of Mind, he comes on a TV channel which is called New Thought, New Faith. Nai Soch, Naya Vishwas. It's like an interview style. And so I find that he has a lot of dharna. You know, one is that you know gyan, one is that you do yoga, but dharna. So he speaks about those things which he has himself inculcated. And then, you know what his interest is? Can anybody guess? What do you think? Pardon? Reading. Reading, yes, we know that. He quotes things which we also somehow feel we don't read. Fantastic memory. But what does he like? Poetry. So does he only like poetry? He writes poetry. So he should give us some... No, not today, okay. And he's written in English actually, quite a lot of poetry. And you know, he's been a great student actually. Even in the medical field, he's been an excellent student. And he has... studied, you know, he's been a gold medalist, of course. He went to Mumbai, he did internal medicine in Australia, Hyderabad, fellowship in dialysis, Kolkata, alternative medicine, diploma in public health, etc., etc., etc. And it goes on and on and on. And I personally think that all of you, of course, have been listening to him, his Avyakt Murali churning, because I always feel that Avyakt Murali, 1 week, is not enough to digest the whole Murali, and he sort of teaches us how to digest it. And like he said a good thing today about Meera and all, because lately I was feeling that I just want to be like Meera. I don't want to do anything. I just want to, you know, be lost and that's it. I've been having this very strong feeling recently. So he's saying now, it's okay. All right. I have to do it. And so I... thank you, the very small word. It's good that he's with us. He's our family, he's our brother, so we are very proud that we have such a brother amongst us. How old is he? I didn't ask him.
37 years.
37! Wow! Who's 37 here? Anybody? Who's in 37 bracket? 1, 2, 3, 4. See? Wow, great. Okay. Yes, you asked your husband yesterday? Yeah, he asked about Dr. Sachin, yes.
And he said that he's in his late 20s.
He's in his late 20s? Well, he probably, because he looks like he's in his 20s. But if he's done all these degrees and these MBSs and blah, 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 he can't be 20, right? Yeah, he didn't bring it back from his last birth. I don't think so. Anyway, we'll just have a minute's silence, okay?
Hey.
साथ है